Hello and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. We are back with another hot take. That's right, me and someone who you're about to hear from has just finished watching the episode. And of course, each week that means we come to you straight away, uninfected thoughts on said episode before a day later having a deep dive with Grumpy John. Click a corner and feedback and all of that jazz.
It's like we've been bitten, but it hasn't taken hold just yet.
No.
You know?
No, yes. You got about 3 hours for a wrist or hand bite, I believe. So,
So get
food for thought with this episode.
Get our thoughts out now before they turn to mush.
Get them out now before we start rambling fungus-related dialogue down the microphones. Well, here he is. That voice that you hear is, of course, little Gareth. This is someone who I have spent many a day in the arcades with. A man who I've actually had to save in many video games, literally every day.
Well,
it's little Gareth.
I'm not sure what that means.
You always lose in the game and then you get frustrated and I have to like revive you or like, you know, save you or give you extra coins so you can keep playing.
Yeah. One game that happens in, and it's Call of Duty, which you basically...
I will say this to you right now, Gareth. I completed TMNT, Turtles in Time, an absolute classic arcade game, and you died before the final boss, and I just beat the final boss, and you were not happy.
I can correct you there. It wasn't TMNT. It was Contra. It was Contra.
No, we did do TMNT as well.
And we completed it together. We completed it together.
Well,
so tell that story.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Well, I was fine. Now I'm all fired up.
Aggressive.
With anger.
Well, that's what you need.
At your lies. Stop telling
me. We need
lies.
This aggression in the podcast. That's some of the feedback we've had. Be more aggressive.
Not aggressive enough.
That's what they've said. Oh. So you see what I'm doing. Stoking the fires, the flames.
They're stoked.
Of course, we've just watched episode 7 of The Last of Us titled Left Behind, named after The Last of Us Part 1 DLC. And for anyone who doesn't play video games, DLC is downloadable content. It's a piece of the story that is released after the game that sometimes fits seamlessly into it, like the Left Behind DLC did. Now, Gareth, we cannot blueberry score the episode on the hot take. It is against the holy testament of Fan Critical to do so. I have the parchment on my wall right here where it says, thou shall not blueberry on the hot take.
I've got the stone. I've got the engraved stone.
Yes,
here.
Stone, yes, etched. So, so with that in mind, what were your thoughts on episode 7 without giving away those delicious blueberries?
Blueberries shall remain in my pocket. Not a good place to keep blueberries.
Where they belong.
Not a good place to keep them. You're asking for trouble. Stains. But I'm going to say this. I'm now at a point with this show where I'm kind of going into every episode and almost hoping that it lets me down a little bit because it's getting silly how much I'm enjoying it and how much every episode I'm like, yeah, it was very good, wasn't it? I think I loved this one as well. I loved the episode.
There you go.
Yeah, I think I won't say why, because basically my hot takes today are just why I loved the episode. But I did love it again.
Lovely. And that's it. That's his synopsis, everyone. See ya. No, that's nice, short, succinct, Gareth.
Write
a little bit more for the deep dive, okay?
Yeah, well.
I want at least 500 words. You understand? Now I really enjoyed this episode as well. I will say that there's an inherent risk with flashback or bottle episodes this late in the game.
Mm. Yes.
And
so
we are
approaching. Can I stop you there for a second? Because I will add to my synopsis here, because you've brought this up, and I did have that thought, where I was like, at the start, I was like, come on, come on, we got to crack on with this story. But what I've done in my own mind, at least, is I've made peace with it pretty early on, and went, yep, okay, look, we know there is going to be another season or two of this, so let them spread out their story as they want to, if they're going to just make quality episodes of TV, you know what I mean?
Yes. Now, what I mean by my statement about being late in the game is we've got two episodes left, and I think there's still a decent chunk of part one to show.
Yeah.
That there is a slight bit of me that is concerned, knowing the run times of the final two episodes, 55 minutes and 42 minutes, and then we're done. That's Last of Us Part 1 done. In saying that, it was a fantastic episode. I'm just a bit concerned about missing or rushing stuff.
Well, you know,
like the university sequence last week.
Judge those episodes when they come out.
No, of course.
You know?
Of course. This is, look, I knew since the episode titles were released like 5 weeks ago that this was going to be a flashback bottle episode. I knew exactly from the trailers what this episode was going to be. I've played the DLC a few times, most recently just again for this show, and it is a very faithful adaptation of that DLC, but it takes it to a whole new level, I think, with the beautiful relationship between Ellie and Riley, played by Gareth Storm Reed.
Yeah.
Riley.
Yeah.
What a fucking cool name.
Yeah, it's so, that's very cool. Do you remember a couple of years ago there was a severe storm that went through the UK called Storm Gareth? Was that it?
Oh yeah.
It's good, that. Good name for a storm.
What a weird name for a storm. Bizarre.
Well, Storm Leonard.
Yeah, I think that's got something to it, actually. Storm Len. There you go. No, I tell you what was a storm. This episode, it was really good. And I do think, worries aside about how we're going to get to the resolution of this, you know, season one, I just think that Bella Ramsey was just flawless in this episode. I can't get over how good she was in this episode, actually. Like, I was just thinking about it earlier. She shows a side to Ellie that is the more naive side, but also the sort of, you know, she's just being a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, in a show like this, that is like gold dust, because let's just face it, that ain't gonna, you're never going to see, or very rarely you're going to see that again. So you have to clutch onto these moments before they're snatched away from you, oh so brutally. So we'll jump into some hot takes, because it's, you know, it's time to do that. But before we do, just to say thanks for your support. Feedback sections have been going great. If you want to get any words into us before we record in the next like 12 to 24 hours, you have to write into fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email is in the show notes. Also, of course, please do subscribe. Please do review if you can, if you would be so kind as to. And if you do want to support us further, you can go to patreon.com/fancritical and donate some money to us to help us produce these shows. The link is in the show notes as well. Just click it and subscribe if you fancy. So thanks. All right, Gareth, let's jump into the old the hot takes. I'm going to start with
HT's
hot take one, which is, I've titled, A Sense of Wonder. And, okay, so stick with me on this. The thing I really liked about the DLC in the game, and also the this episode, is how this mall, where they just get some electricity, is like the best thing that these characters have ever seen in their lives. And, to be honest, probably will be... You know, because everything's so fucking bleak. Still one of the coolest nights of their lives. And it's just how the mundane things that we see every day, how they just look at it.
Take for granted.
We take, not, well, I'm not saying we take escalators for granted, Gareth, but they are pretty useful.
Well, we do. They're electric stairs, mate. That's
I know.
Come on. I know. We need to get more of that sense of wonder in our lives.
I know. Okay. But I just mean like seeing like Ellie's face when all the lights come on and seeing them react to the photo booth, the carousel, all that stuff. It was just glorious. And that is what I loved in the game as well. It's like their journey through this mall of like relics from the past. And I just love how I felt that sense of wonder through them. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, a lot of the way that this episode was shot, it was like a more recent romantic coming of age movie that maybe set in the 80s and 90s. Goes beyond just kind of what they're looking at and like the things that they can see, but like their feelings. And, you know, it's obviously it's a love story as well. And,
of course,
you know, the way that Ellie is just so clearly in love with Riley, and like just her looks at in her direction, and it's easy. I think at times you could easily forget what this is a show about.
Easily, yeah. I mean, like it's and they do.
Yeah,
they let their guard down way too easily, which ends in tragedy.
Mm.
All right, Gareth, what's hot take two?
Hot take two is similar to hot take one, but I'm going to go slightly more specific. I loved the aesthetic generally of the shopping mall and the 80s and 90s nostalgia that we get from this.
You just love the lingerie, yes, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I've got
screen.
I was paused on that. Do you know why I was late to tonight? Because I was just paused on that scene.
Disgusting.
Yeah. The nostalgia, like obviously at this time in the show, in when it's set, the nostalgia that people are going to feel is for 2000, early 2000s, which we were actually talking about yesterday as a nostalgic time for us as well. But it was really cool to get some of those that 80s and 90s stuff in there. In this episode, from kind of the music choices to obviously the arcade, they had the carousel. Do you know which band that was that the carousel was playing the music of?
The Cure,
which is such a cool choice based on the fact that
Ellie is the Cure.
Is the Cure.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I loved it, and I loved the. It's not really one of my hot takes, but the music in general and the rearrangements of the music, like it was, some of the tracks were like the carousel version of The Cure was like this plinky plonky carousel version of that song, which I thought was very interesting.
It was. But then also that scene in particular is one of those that I was talking about a moment ago, where it's like, that is a scene that you would see in a coming of age romantic movie.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It was lovely. And, of course, a little bit of Mortal Kombat as well.
Well, I'll go straight into Hot Take 3, Gareth, and it's arcades for me. Seeing those arcade machines and then them literally standing in front of them, like, oh, my God, what is this? It reminds me of us standing in Tokyo looking at the arcades there, which completely blew us away. This is way better than the version of the game, because they've actually got the license to show these games. Mm. And as video game enthusiasts like we are, especially, I would say, retro games and arcade games by extension, this was such like a nerdy trip for me. I was like, oh, there's Tetris. Oh, there's Frogger.
Yeah, Frogger.
And then Frogger's in there. Yep. And then you got Daytona, and of course, Mortal Kombat 2, one of the greatest fighting games of all time. Not as good as Street Fighter 2, never will be. However, I loved that sequence, and it just also gave me a huge nostalgia hit whilst I was watching it. And I knew that you would also really enjoy it.
I loved it. And I mean, to be honest, my thought was, right, if you've got this, clear out the infected, come and clear it out. And everybody move here. Like, surely take advantage of this arcade.
Fedra don't want you having fun, mate.
Yeah,
they're bad guys.
Mm.
Apparently.
No fun allowed.
Which is interesting. it was an interesting thing we'll talk about in the deep dive about perspectives on who is right and who is wrong here, because I do think that's very interesting. What's your hot take number four?
You know what they say, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Yes.
My final hot take is Ellie is not a surgeon. I think that's evident.
I didn't think you were going to be mentioning this. Go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, has that needle, where's that needle come from? Has it been disinfected? She hasn't even heated it.
Oh, 20 years it's been in that cupboard. Yeah. 20 fucking
gathering
years.
Gathering dust and virus, probably.
Nah, it's similar in the game. Like, you see, obviously, you know, but you see her handiwork, and I'm doing quotation marks, and it looks abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah. I know she's trying, but I wouldn't be...
Good old college try.
I wouldn't be keen to be on the receiving end of that. But, you know, what it does show is she had the opportunity just to leave, and obviously is choosing not to leave Joel behind, but to come back and save him.
It would be out of order, in my opinion, if she did, when she just fucking had a go at him last week, saying, everyone's left me but you, if then she fucked off. So there's no way she could.
No, she would never do that. But, and I mean, no. The narrative kind of...
It tried to make you think, like, oh, she's going to leave. Yeah, there's no way she's fucking leaving.
She's opened the door. Like, that obviously wasn't going to happen. I don't think many people would have been fooled by that. But they obviously...
Well, maybe John, you know, is very... like, he would have been like, oh, what's this? She better not leave him. And then, you know, we'd have to talk around him around.
How annoying. She's leaving. This is stupid.
One bloob.
But what we do see is her, like... her background and her motivations, I guess, for kind of not wanting to lose somebody that she cares about again.
And that rolls into the final hot take of this hot take episode, which is Ellie and Riley. I've just put it as a hot take. And we're going to talk a load about this in the deep dive, especially in Clicker Corner. But this was such a great, you know, interpretation of their relationship. And it's no secret in the game that Ellie's gay, and the relationship with Riley is so important in helping us understand her as a character, her love for Riley, and the truly tragic end to their relationship, their very short-lived relationship, and finally, like, expressing their feelings. Completely affects who she is as a character, which is alluding to what you were saying, Gareth. We understand now why she doesn't want to lose anyone else. You know, Joel references she doesn't know what loss is in a previous episode. And she does. Like, Ellie, you know, she's not only lost her parents, Riley, obviously Sam and Henry, Tess.
Her book.
No pun intended. William Livingston. No, but she's also dealing with the huge weight on her shoulders that she is potentially the savior of mankind. So this moment at the end of the episode is so important to understand her character. And I have to say, like, the chemistry between Storm Reed's Riley and Bella Ramsey's Ellie was fucking breathtaking. There's something about this show which it's done again, which is becoming a bit of a trope now, which is they introduce a character and they kill them in the same episode. Now, that is a skill, because we've talked about it and praised it, how they're making us care about these characters, and then they snatch them away from us. But they have to stop doing it at some point, because it's getting frustrating, even though I know it's going to happen, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said it last week and then said it's probably acting. But yeah, I don't know how they're making us care so much about characters that we've just met.
I think the casting has been elite in terms of the actors delivering on the vision that Neil and Craig have.
Oh, yeah, Neil and Craig.
first name terms, mm-hmm. ofs. But yeah, like, I just think the actors have been fantastic. The casting's been brilliant. And the relationship between Riley and Ellie here, and we'll talk about it more in the deep dive, it was just beautiful. It was everything that I wanted from it, and more. I think it was better than the game, personally. And there's a couple of things I was annoyed that weren't there from the game, but we'll get into that and click a corner in the deep dive. But overall, the actual core character development and the relationship between the characters was far superior. So that's great.
Hot take number 6 is Bethany's a bitch, yeah. And she had it coming. So
take that, Bethany. 15 stitches, yeah? And don't let Ellie do your stitches. Just don't let her do it.
Ah, that's what it was. It was a little foreshadowing of the final scene. I mean, she must have hit her hard. 15 stitches.
That is a massive hit. Like, I've been hit before and I've never had stitches. Right? So just want to say. Anyway, that's it for the hot take. We've got to go because we've got quite a quick turnaround for the deep dive this week. It's actually going to be out around about the same time, but we're recording a bit earlier because of a clash in schedules, if you will. So I've got to go and furiously make notes and also collate your feedback, dear listener. And if you want to write in, be quick. It's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. And the deep dive will be out in, like I said, less than a day, really. So enjoy this. Write in. Thank you, Gareth, for joining me.
Enjoy and survive.
Enjoy and survive, yes. Enjoy and survive, everyone. And we will see you with little John. Well, he's actually Big John. We'll see you with Big John and little Gareth in, you know, a day's time. All right. See ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.